Howdy neighbors, Ron Hayes, Beef Buzzin' with you today, a special internet edition of Beef Buzzin' with Molly McAdams talking about big trends for the beef industry. We're back on that in just a moment. Well, neighbors, does market volatility have you feeling stressed? Maybe it's time you took another look at growing sesame. Sesame prices are at an all-time high and covered by an acre contract that could be just the thing to calm your nerves. Coupled with unmatched shatter, insect, and drought resistance, farmers are relying on sesame as a profitable rotation crop in the production system. Sesico has developed these varieties to be low input and use 30% less water than Milo and half the nitrogen. When compared side-by-side with other summer crop options, sesame will come out ahead in almost all hot, dry conditions. To sign up acres for this summer or to speak to one of Sesico's qualified agronomists, please contact Danny Pieper at 580-530-1921. That phone number again for Danny Pieper, 580-530-1921. Sesame, a great summer crop option for you here in 2011. At the recent Texas Southwestern Cattle Raisers annual meeting, had the chance to hear a presentation by Dr. Molly McAdams, who worked for a lot of years for HEB, now out on a private consulting basis, working with the cattle industry on basically the big trends going on in our beef business these days. She says that there's at least seven trends that she believes will impact beef product development in the months and years ahead. Things that the beef industry needs to be paying attention to. We talk with her after her presentation there in San Antonio.
Well, I think it's important because sometimes it's hard to make the connection between what you do on the ranch with what's happening out there either in retail or in food service. And that's what I was really trying to do, is just make the connection. And some of these trends are really going to be heavily impacted by checkoff dollars and some of the research that's funded through that. And I thought it would be interesting information for the ranchers to know.
Now, a couple of things that you were talking about in particular I thought really were very important. Premium ground beef. Ground beef has been a big important category down through the years, but it's always been one of those low price items.
Sure. Premium grinds, as I call them, are getting to be more and more important, and you see them in a lot of other places. So McDonald's has an Angus burger, which I think is very exciting. And when you think of how much of our product is sold in the form of ground beef, anything you can do to that category to add excitement or a mystique is really, really good, not just for the category, but also for the beef industry. So expect to see things like prime ground beef, all natural ground beef, Angus ground beef, things like that. And they're really catching on. They're building steam.
Your former employer, HEB, even has the brisket ground beef.
Yes. So HEB had a ground beef brisket. And you could find that on the shelf. The reason really was because brisket is so popular in Texas. So it made sense for our market.
We talked a lot about the ethnic connection as well and how that can impact where we're going with products.
Sure. You know, anyone who lives in, certainly in the Southwest, understands ethnic markets because we're really surrounded by a lot of demographic diversity. But it's certainly growing in other parts of the country as well. You can't ignore that ethnic consumer. They want things that are different than what maybe traditional cuts are. And the fact is that usually those very heavy ethnic markets also absolutely love high-quality protein, and the highest quality protein is beef.
One of the things you talked about was this need to know, or the right to know, I think was actually the trend that you mentioned. And you indicated that we're going to get to a point where we've got to know where these cattle come from.
I believe so. I could be proven wrong. I made two points there. One, of course, was the U.S. consumer with growing interest in where their food comes from. But to me, the greatest opportunity there in source verification is for global markets. And, you know, with the growth of global markets is profound. And so I think that the U.S. is going to be at a tremendous disadvantage if we can't source verify or show traceability for our animals. It's going to keep us out of some global markets.
But at the same time, domestically, you were talking about the fact that people like Whole Foods have done a tremendous amount of work telling consumers, in effect, the more you know, the better off you are.
Sure. Whole Foods is a pace setter in that area. They have a customer that is highly interested in the origin of their food. And I always look to Whole Foods to kind of see what's next. And what they've done an amazing job of. They're great marketers. I think we could all agree. They've done a great job of providing information to their customers because they want them to have the right to know. And I think that their tagline is, the more you know, the better. And so it's powerful stuff. It will eventually leak out into other markets.
Last thing you talked about, kind of almost like a pat on the back of the cattle producers investing the checkoff, was the new beef cuts. A lot of that coming from the muscle profiling.
Sure. So the muscle profiling study is one that I'm particularly excited about. I've had a chance to work on or around it for several years. It's yielding tremendous results, very powerful results. And basically, it's so simple. It's just taking a really hard look scientifically at the quality of all these different muscles in the chuck and the round, many of which have been ground in the past because we didn't know what to do with them. With the benefit of the muscle profiling research, now we know which ones are really tenderful, or I'm sorry, which ones are really tender, which ones are really flavorful, and how can you best market those cuts.
And I thought the stats you had on like the flat iron, amazing.
Oh my gosh. When you look at the impact of muscle profiling on the shoulder clod and the three cuts that we've identified from the shoulder clod, it resulted in 146 million pounds in food service, which is three times as much as porterhouse and T-bones in a boneless equivalent. I think that's powerful stuff.
And that was being ground up before.
It was being ground up before. Absolutely.
Some of the big trends that impact our beef product development and our ability to meet the needs of today's consumer. Appreciation to Dr. Molly McAdams to join us today on this electronic version of our Beef Buzz. Have yourself a great day, everybody. I'm Ron Hayes on the Radio Oklahoma Network and OklahomaFarmReport.com.